This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Our producer team is as follows. Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Sean Sears is here, although he said he was leaving. Is he giving notice and that's just the way I found out? Sean, are you leaving for good or are you just leaving for the afternoon? What's happening here?
He's ignoring you right now. I just want to point that out.
No, he's not near a microphone. All right, well, there I will find the thrilling conclusion at some point in time. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv, Chicago 670 The Score. Connor O'Donnell, Jenna Duddleston, and Matt Anaya are our video team. We are already asking for your calls because up next, two segments of Who's Your Guys, the 312-644-6767. We cannot use your texts. The text line moves too quickly. You can, however, call us on the Meatball Machine and leave a Who's Your Guy.
Go to the
Odyssey app.
Meatball Machine.
And leave a voice message, and that is where you can do that instead of text. Also, just use the Meatball Machine in your life. You know, if you need to vent to somebody, apparently we've gotten some really good ones that are not sports related where people are just venting. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I think maybe at the end of this week. Well, no, we're going to use the Meatball Machine probably reacting to day one and talking about day two. But at some point, we're just going to go straight for the vent. Like, who's having a terrible week or a great week and wants to let us know, and we'll play some messages.
Yeah, so we'll figure that out as well. You know, that's what life is all about, the journey. And the journey as we continue to the NFL draft, where we are trying to figure out if anybody wants to make any moves. And we have a little bit of action, right? Just a little.
Nothing official. Nothing has been done, but there is percolation. It's like when you put on water to boil, because that's what I do when I make tea at home, and it's got to get to the boil before you put the tea bags in.
Sure thing.
When it starts boiling, that's where we are now. Like, the tea hasn't been made yet, but there is tea to be spilled.
That is also the platform on which Marshall Harris stands.
I love me some tea.
No, so we're trying to figure out if there is going to be any sort of movement when it comes to whether or not we're going to see a draft trade before the actual draft on Thursday. According to Adam Schefter, this was earlier this morning, the Browns and Giants are fielding trade calls for picks number 2 and number 3, which is the most action we've had when it comes to trying to see if anybody's going to move off of their position in the draft.
What do you think it would cost for the Bears to move up to 2 or 3? And is it just simply giving up this year's first and second picks? And if that's the case, would you do it? That's like what goes through my mind.
No, I would not. I would not.
Not for Abdul Carter?
Abdul Carter's it. Like, that's it, right? It's what you're willing to give up for what your need and what the possibility is of that person on your team.
They need a rusher, right? An edge guy?
You also just paid Montez Sweat a lot of money to have 5.5 sacks last year.
But if you put him opposite Montez Sweat, think of the possibilities.
But that's the issue, is at what cost? You don't have a lot of draft depth. Let me remind you about what happened last year, where they had to trade to get 5 picks. They were originally at 4. They used 20% of those on another punter. Hidden yardage,
the way
baby.
You said that. Not only that you said 20% on a punter, but you said another punter to reemphasize the fact that just 2 years earlier, they had taken a punter.
Trenton Gill, 7th round.
Sometimes 7th round picks don't make the team, so I'm not as mad about
that. Sometimes they do. Sometimes Jermaine Effetti. Who am I thinking of? It was the previous starting left tackle. He went to the Commanders.
But my point is, sometimes you can play with a seventh round pick, but good organizations make sure they get all the use out of their third round pick. So until they prove that they know what to do it in the third round, good job. Until they prove that they can get it done in the third round, I'm not thinking about the seventh round. Like, let's just picks 1 through 6 per se.
Yes. Also, let's talk about the second round where you've traded picks and I haven't always loved what you've done.
Chase Claypool wasn't your guy?
Pick number 32, even though he was drafted, 88th or something, actually? Mm. Yeah, that wasn't ideal. Really loves football, though, according to the hits principle. I've gotten it out of the way for today.
Woo! You had to get that off your chest. Who else has a platform in this room? Oh, yeah, it's Layla Rahimi. Use it.
Layla's blinds are broken and she hasn't had sleep. So it's been a good time. So today might be the day where the boiling begins.
Can I read this part about the highlighted part of the Adam Schefter report on Ashton Jeanty? Can we talk about that real quick?
Yes, we can. Also, way to go, guys! Nice calls going on. Pick your guy for the next segment.
Who's your guy rolling right now?
Pick your guy would be awesome. If everybody could draft somebody, that would be great.
It's like pick any mini money mo. So yeah. Here's Adam Schefter. This is from yesterday. Quote, there are multiple personnel people who believe the Bears are praying that Jeanty slips to them at number 10. They think new Bears coach Ben Johnson could feature Jeanty and DeAndre Swift as a two-headed duo the way the Lions did with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs when Johnson was Detroit's offensive coordinator. Your initial reaction to that, just that information as presented by Adam Schefter, are you good with it? Are you excited about it? Are you like, oh no, what is your initial reaction?
Well, the funny part is they talk about DeAndre Swift in this, and then we know what happened to DeAndre Swift.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
That was the original question. So I appreciate the idea, and we've discussed it before. So if that's what you need to make your offense go, I think the better question, though, is that what you need first? And I would argue that, no, that's not what you need first. You don't have a Pedasul. You don't have a Frank Ragnow.
They have a Darnell Wright.
They have a Darnell Wright, and they have a
Braxton
Drew Dolman.
A somewhat not quite healthy yet Braxton Jones.
And they have a Joe Tooney, who we all love, but, you know, he's a little older. And you're trying to build this thing for a while, and like I said, linemen don't come cheap.
And
so
they're
I
hard
think
to
about
get
that.
If you don't draft them. They're hard to.
They're
good
impossible
ones.
To get if you don't draft them.
Otherwise, you got to move through the trade market.
Exactly. And you have to pray that somebody has a glut on their line of depth. And who do you want to be in the future? The team that has a glut on their line of depth.
Saquon Barkley was not extended and allowed to enter free agency and immediately signed with another team within the team's division that released him and won a Super Bowl. I don't know that would happen to an offensive tackle who is at the same level of Saquon Barkley. And that's my point. So Jeanty at 10 sounds cool. It's great. But are you going to be able to address your other needs, such as tackle, to get that competition at left tackle you were talking about for Braxton Jones? Or maybe Kieran Amagaji is who they see as the competition for Braxton Jones at left tackle.
Scary enough. What if he's not? And now you're talking about, you know, 20% of your draft picks last year went to a punter. The other 20 went to, one of the 20 went to Kieran Amagaji, Austin Booker. You know, like, it starts to add up. But if you look at even, say, the running leaders, the rushing yard leaders last year in the NFL, Saquon Barkley, of course, number one. Derrick Henry there's an argument to be made for established running backs still having years on their career and quality ones. Maybe that's the better argument. Then you get to be John Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, and Jahmyr Gibbs. The Jahmyr Gibbs being the fifth leading rusher in the league last year is the reminder that the Ben Johnson offense is predicated on the run appropriately and necessary. As to how that factors into who needs to be a game changer is the better question.
I don't know if this is the case, but it feels like we're putting a lot on Ben Johnson, and he deserves a lot in terms of the burden to bear, the weight of the game changer is in the coaching staff itself. The game changer is the coach and the play caller in Ben Johnson. And maybe that's the case. I'm just not sure Ashton Jeanty is the guy. Now, if that's who they take, right, I'll be like, all right, bet. This is what you wanted, obviously. He fell to 10. You're good to go. Do not trade up for Ashton Jeanty. That is insane to me.
Yeah, that's it. They don't have enough depth on their team. You know, they don't have enough guys, and especially after what happened in last year's draft.
They have too many needs.
They need more draft capital than they need to move up to get, unfortunately, what is still largely thought of in the league as a fungible position. Like, that's the issue. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I go back and forth, though, on that. I do factor in the value of that position in free agency. That's why I talk about offensive line so much, because that's the best example of the likelihood of somebody even going to free agency. They do go more often as running backs. It's why DeAndre Smith is here, or DeAndre Swift is here. So I factor that in, you know, and there are a lot of quality backs in this draft. What's the delta? What's the difference between a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs for that offense and, say, a DeAndre Swift, or, say, Caleb Johnson or Omarion Hampton, for example? That's the better question. Then you can tell whether or not you want to move up to get somebody.
Here's my favorite stat about Ginty, okay? Going back to last year, he has a remarkable ability to break tackles and gain yards after contact. In fact, Ginty had 1,733 rushing yards after contact last season, while Omarion Hampton, who you just mentioned, regarded as the number two back in the class. That's pretty straight up. He had 1,660 total rushing yards. That means Ginty's total rushing yards after contact were more than Hampton's total yards, period. Here's the rub on that, though. Ginty played in the Mountain West. I am not trying to declare myself as an SEC or Power Four supremacist. That's not what I'm doing here. But I'm saying I'm not the only guy looking at Ginty through this lens of, you didn't go against the best competition. Listen to what Anthony Heron had to say last night on why not to draft Ashton Ginty.
That's the type of evaluation that most of us had on Saquon Barkley when he came out. That's a generational talent as a running back. Ashton Ginty had generational production in college, but he's just not that level of prospect. So there's other backs, day two and beyond, that I think the Bears will have an opportunity to get. For where they're at as a franchise right now, Ashton Ginty at number 10, I don't think that makes as much sense as some others.
Yeah.
That's it. It's supply, it's demand, it's what happens once you're a free agent, it's all of it. It's your need currently, and it's the fact that there are a lot of quality individuals out there who are available.
And we talk about the rushing yards after contact. My point when I said that, and it's impressive how many yards he had after contact, but that's because he was going up against inferior defenders who could not tackle.
Yards after contact is key. It's also who's making the contact.
Exactly.
And you and I both feel the same way. Did he look amazing? Yes. Is he drawing Barry Sanders comps from some people? Yes. Barry Sanders was in the Big Eight at the time. That was still considered a very quality conference when it came to quality and strength of opponent.
Fair. And now with college, the way it goes now, the one thing I'll say about the NFL draft now, you have a better idea about most of these players now who play in these super conferences because they go up against top level competition. That's why you can look at a guy like a Will Campbell and be like, but he went up against these edge rushers who are also going to be drafted in the top, you know, 50, 60 players.
Kelvin Banks.
Yes.
How much
thing.
Am I measuring that against arm legs?
Hey, man, the Kevin Willis arms allegations are never going to stop.
But right. I was going to say it's not as much as everybody else. Like, to me, calling protections is more important. To me, how you see the game is more important. The base on which you're blocking, how wide your stance is naturally, how you're using that leverage. Yeah, it'd be nice, but nobody's perfect. And that's the point here. Nobody is perfect.
So for more on Ashton Ginty, here's what Tom Pelissero had to say yesterday, right? That was yesterday?
I believe so. It's relevant is the point.
We'll start with this, Jamie. He took three pre-draft visits. Ashton Ginty visited the Raiders, who have the number 6 pick. He visited the Bears, who have the number 10 pick. And he visited the Cowboys, who have the number 12 pick. To answer your question, yes, there is more noise about Ashton Ginty going to the Raiders than probably a lot of other picks, a lot of other matches in the top 10. My question is not, does Ashton Ginty end up going somewhere in the top 10? I believe he will. My question is, does somebody for a running back decide, in order to get him, we got to trade up above the Raiders to ensure that we get him. At number five, Jacksonville is in a really interesting spot. They've got a first-year GM and head coach. They potentially, in the right scenario, could be open for business. What you have to ask yourself is, if you're Ben Johnson in Chicago, or you're Brian Schottenheimer in Dallas, and you're thinking this guy can add a dimension that we can't get anyplace else, is it worth it? Because it would be expensive to go up and get ahead of the Raiders. That is something that we'll be watching very closely as Thursday night approaches.
Don't do it. And I know he said Ben Johnson. You notice whose name he did not say when he was talking about that. He didn't say Ryan Poles. Said Ben Johnson. But whoever's making the decision, don't do it. Do not lose draft capital trading up to get Ashton
Johnson.
However you want to say it, man. I'm adamant on this. I'm still down on like my last two or three guys at number 10 who they should take.
Who's your guy?
We'll get to that next segment. But I'm saying, Ashton Jeanty, don't trade up for him. You got too many needs. You agree with that, right?
Mostly line needs. Like,
yes.
Mostly. Like, that's the part everybody seems to be forgetting in all of this. Before they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, who did they draft? Penei Sewell, Aiden Hutchinson.
It was a nice setup. They had a nice run with their losing, where they drafted really good guys.
And then it all came together in a magical, magical way.